Blame Traffic is opening at the old 505 Theatre in Newtown from November the 13th and playing only to the 24th. And we have the writer and director on the line to have a chat about it, Michael Andrew Collins, emerging playwright, but had loads of exciting things happen, nominated for SDC's Patrick White Award, the Griffin Award, and Subtle Nuances Silver Gull Play Award in Sydney, as well as a variety of other writing awards. Welcome to Stages.
Thank you for having me.
So this is, Blame Traffic. Is it kind of a road rage kind of play?
For some of the characters, perhaps. I mean,
tell us what we...
Yeah, the style of the show is kind of that there's a series of interconnecting stories around like an incident on a road. And one of them definitely deals with kind of road rage as an impulse and as an incident, but it's not an entirely rage-filled play. it's sort of the other storylines allow us to kind of examine other things and have a lot of kind of humour and kind of love in the show. But yes, definitely there are elements of the classic rage that we all feel in Sydney all the time.
Totally. What? How many stories then are going on at once?
So there's seven characters played by five actors, and there's a kind of singular storyline that connects all of them, but then within those, each of the characters has their own kind of storyline as well. So it's really one story and also seven stories, depending on how you look at it.
The background of each of the people, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But it is set kind of in the streets. Is it a particular incident that happened to you that you wanted to, you know, kind of take to the stage? Or how did the idea first come up to, what, you know, where are we? On the streets of Sydney?
It wasn't really a single incident. The play is set and begins, the kind of catalyst for all of it is that there's a character who is continually cut off by the same car every day after work, and then they decide when they've had enough of it and had enough of this, the car's a Mercedes, and so it becomes about kind of the placement of all this rage on that car, and they decide to follow it home, and that's kind of the thing that kicks us off. So we kind of begin on the road, and most of the storylines take place also on the road, but there's a couple that don't. That incident didn't really happen to me, but you know, as I used to drive a lot in Sydney for work, because I work as an English tutor, and I used to drive around to homes of students kind of after school and things, I definitely began daydreaming a lot about traffic and about, you know, people in cars and all of these ideas.
Yeah.
It's not like a story happened to me as such, but I was definitely have been cut off many times, and I think the story begins with me imagining, I don't know, someone trying to do something about it or how that would work, and then the other things kind of spiral out from there. So it's not really autobiographical in that way, but it definitely comes from my feelings as I drove around a lot in for work.
That's interesting, because the roads and the streets are all such a public space, but then what happens when you take that public into the private?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think really a lot of the play deals with this idea of the kind of disconnection from kind of reality that we all undergo when you're trying to imagine other people or other people's lives. So, you know, when you are cut off and you can go through the process of thinking, you know, why did they do that? Are they just an idiot and they're a terrible human being, or, you know, do they have a legitimate reason for doing that? What would that be? If they are a terrible person, why? And so the play kind of really tries to, you know, explode out all those reasons. And all of the storylines kind of connect around this idea of, you know, the story that you would be able to build in your own mind, and then whether that is, when that's checked against reality, whether that holds true or if it matters or if there even is a reality that you could check it against. And so, yeah, it's all of that imagining. And I think when we're on the roads, because it is such a public space, I think we all can't help but kind of do that. Like, you always imagine the worst of people on the roads often.
Yeah,
never of yourself, though, but of everybody else. But
yeah, totally. And also, like, sometimes you're driving around across the Harbour Bridge and the cars are all so close and there's so many, and you're thinking, I don't know how more accidents don't happen, and randomness. Like, how can we trust all these people in the world? And we are in our
Totally. I mean, one of the funny things about this play has been And for one of the storylines in particular, it like looks a lot at statistics, and I got a bit obsessed with actually reading a lot of the road stats. And you know, this is like what one of the characters says in the play, but there actually are very few accidents when you consider how many cars there are. Like it's kind of a weird thing. We always imagine the roads as like that it should be. We should just be crashing all the time, and it's kind of amazing that we don't actually. Yeah. And when you look at it, it's actually quite low for. Even in a place like Sydney where you would just assume that, you know, everyone's running into each other constantly, but somehow we all struggle through it and make it work most of the time.
Yeah, anyway. Wow. So what were the statistics then? What was interesting about them? Just that?
Well, just that they were, and this is what one of the characters kind of talks about, is like, just that they were lower than I suspected. Mm. I suspected the amount of crashes that there would be in a given year to be something very, very high as a percentage, and really it's very, very low. I mean, it's depending on it, like you could break those statistics down into kind of anything, but if you're looking at like how many just accidents there were where cars were kind of written off, it's like of all the cars on the roads, I think someone says this in the play correctly, and I'll try to remember it correctly now, I think it's like 0.003% of all cars. So if you're thinking of it as like, and this is what a character does in the play, like that's the chances of being in a car accident. It's actually 0.003, which is very, I don't know, that's kind of quite low, you know, in a way. But then it's not, because we all have stories of, and this I'm about to go off on a big tangent about another thing the play is about, which is, you know, and I think given in the world at the moment, I think we're doing this a lot where we're looking at statistics and trying to apply them to the real world. And so if you hear a thing like, well, actually the chances of being in a car accident are 0.003, but then you're immediately like, well, actually I was in one, I know my friend who was in one, and that kind of disconnect between what statistics mean when you're looking at them in the abstract versus like personal stories becomes very, very interesting and kind of fruitful for drama, I guess. And that's kind of what a lot of, not all of them, but some of the storylines deal with as well, is like, how applicable are those stats to real life? Like, what does it mean to say that the chances are only this, given that, you know, I've had no friends that have been in serious accidents. And so is that like a comforting thing or not? Is it worse to know that it's a small chance and then it happens, or that it's a big chance? And, you know, I don't know. These are obviously the questions in the play around statistics and how you apply them to kind of the real world.
Who are the characters that are in your world that you're creating in Blame Traffic?
Really what's been fun about this this production has been that I sort of wrote the original, I don't know, I guess concepts for the stories and had a draft of the play done a little while ago now, maybe 6 months or so. And then when we were able to cast the actors and then bring them in, really started to have fun with the actors kind of bringing themselves to those roles. So I guess the characters in a way have become quite similar to the actors, like biographically similar to the actors who play them, which has been a real fun opportunity for some of those actors who get a chance to kind of be themselves in a way that they don't often get to in Australian theatre. And that's quite fun and rewarding. But the kind of, the storylines and their kind of drives and everything were kind of my inventions. But I've really enjoyed just letting the actors kind of bring their own, you know, culture and identity and feelings to that, to the stories, and allowing them to kind of inhabit it. So we've got kind of that storyline that starts everything off. Mm-hmm. The woman who follows home the Mercedes is played by Violette Ayad, who's the producer and also one of the actors in the show. And so, you know, for her being a Palestinian Lebanese Australian actress, she gets a chance to kind of be that 26-year-old Palestinian Lebanese Australian actress talking as herself to the audience, and you know, railing against this car that she hates. And yeah, so that's been a lot of fun and a lot of finding that nuance and detail. And I've relied on the cast a lot in that way, which is a very nice thing to do as a playwright, because you know, you get to see all these ideas brought to you and kind of then take them on board. And a lot of that work and that fine detail is just so much, you know, no matter how much you think you can do it on your own, you're sort of continually shown to be a bit lacking when reality is kind of brought to you in that way. So that's been really fun. And I think people will kind of resonate with that in that way.
Is there kind of a philosophical aspect then to it, like in the randomness of what's going on in the world?
Yeah, totally. I think kind of as I was mentioning before about statistics, I think really a lot of the play is looking at like how we deal with randomness as a concept, and the roads are kind of a perfect place for that because, you know, depending on whether you're religious or not, I guess we all kind of have to have some way of dealing with the fact that there are potentially these things that we can't control, and so, you know, road accidents are a very distilled form of that, because even if you were the one who caused it in a way, it's like, well, could you have avoided it? And then you get into this kind of deterministic discussion, which is where the ideas of religion and things come into it. Because I think when something horrible has happened on a road, or just in life in general, I think you're kind of forced to ask yourself that, and everybody inevitably does, of, you know, what meaning can I make out of this, or is there a meaning? Should there be a meaning? Does that matter? And I think no matter, even the most hardcore atheists in the world would struggle to not have some, you know, their own religious idea about the meaning of that event, or what it could mean, or how they would have to keep going from that. So I think that's kind of the philosophy of the show is, yeah, is kind of looking at the ways in which we make meaning out of events that might just be random and didn't actually happen to you or for any purpose, but you're going to invent your own story about it. And that's really what drives most of the generation of the stories in the play, is kind of that process of, you know, kind of imagining, but more like making your own reality again out of something. And so yeah, that's really kind of what drives a lot of the play.
So we've talked a lot about you as the writer, but now you as the director on stage, and you said a bit about, the actors and working kind of with them and what they're bringing themselves. But how are you putting roads and driving on the stage? I mean, that's sort of a tricky
So
job.
one of my least favorite things in the theater is like
Pretending to
miming and
drive.
particularly pretending to drive. Yes, it's the classic theater. It could be the best thing ever, but it's often not. And so my impulse as a director is always to kind of try to do as little as possible and allow the actors to actually drive everything. So we don't really have like any attempt to trick people into thinking that they're on a road. I'm very of the opinion that, you know, we're in a theater, and for us to the process by which we would actually get you to think that, oh my God, those people are driving a car, would involve, you know, billions of dollars and some kind of, you know, crazy AV or, you know, virtual reality set. So really, we've kind of gone the other direction, which is what I think are the strengths of theatre, which is kind of the storytelling part of it. So we have things that suggest movement and suggest being in a car, but there's no trickery to try to say to people, like, even though I've just been speaking to you and I'm now sitting down, like, oh, I'm in a car all of a sudden. It's like, you're just going to be, we're going to tell you that and allow the story to take that place, and we're going to suggest it, but we're not ever attempting to think that we're actually on a road in the old 505. So, and that kind of extends into the design as well, is that it's quite abstracted and suggestive, so that you're really we're trying to draw focus to the actors and the storytelling that they're doing, either through, you know, moments of direct address or with each other in a scene. So that's what I think theatre does well, and that's what I'm trying to keep the focus being. I don't want to distract people with like, oh, the steering wheel was there and now they've moved their hand slightly and they said the road was going this way, but now they're looking, you know. I think that actually gives you more problems than you think it does. So yes, I'm staying very far away from all that.
Terrific. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
No worries, it's been a pleasure.
Blame Traffic is on at Old 505 from the 13th of November to the 24th. Get along and see it.